Danny, get your mic. Turn your mic on.
Not the way you want to start a live show. Did that work, Gary? Am I back on?
All good. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll try this again. Folks, one of the problems with live TV.
You're Showdown on, Dan. Go ahead. Okay.
Showdown with President Trump. He has apparently made his decision. He is going to take the United States to war with Iran. He has posted this just earlier this morning on Truth Social. He wrote, "A massive armada is heading to Iran. It's moving quickly with great power, enthusiasm, and purpose. It is a larger fleet headed by a great American aircraft carrier, Abraham Lincoln, than was sent to the Venezuela. Like the Venezuela, it is ready, willing, and able to rapidly fulfill its mission with speed and violence if necessary. Hopefully, Iran will quickly come to the table and negotiate a fair and equitable deal. No nuclear weapons, one that is good for all parties. Time is running out. It is truly of the essence. As I told Iran once before, make a deal. They didn't, and there was Operation Midnight Hammer, a major destruction of Iran. The next attack will be far worse. Don't make that happen again. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump." Now, listen, this he is not just whistling Dixie, as they say. He's not just sending up just a token force. Gary, if you can put that full screen up there, this is what has been steaming in. You've been hearing a lot about the Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group, which he mentioned in that that text right there. And you see the Abraham Lincoln itself, and you see there are 9 squadron carrier air wings aboard. You see there is an F-35. There are 3 F/A-18s, and then a number of other kinds of things, some helicopters and other kinds of aircraft. And there are also, I believe there are a total of 3 additional support ships, cruisers and destroyers, if I'm not mistaken. You see a lot of power there. You see a lot of other power on the map of the left there that shows you lots of other ground-based air power that is in the region. It's not sea-based. So there is a great deal of firepower, and you see kind of Iran in the middle of that screen there. So you see these firepowers all arrayed out. So when he says we have something really big heading that direction, or something big, a punch that's capable of throwing, he is not kidding. There genuinely is a lot of power there. The question is, though, towards what end? Let's don't just whistle past this one. The United States Constitution and the 1973 War Powers Act only recognizing 2 ways to take the United States to war. Number one, according to the Constitution, is if the U.S. Congress declares war. Article 1, I believe it's Section 8. If the Congress declares war, then and only then can the commander-in-chief take the armed forces and take them into battle. 1973 War Powers Act, likewise, stipulates very clearly in writing that the only 3 ways in which the commander-in-chief may take the armed forces into hostilities, especially into another country, is if there has been a declaration of war, congressional statutory authorization, or we have been attacked, a la Pearl Harbor. None of those have been the case. Just want to be crystal clear. This is a conscious decision by President Trump and President Trump alone to take the United States armed forces and put our troops at risk for it's not clear what. There is no threat to the United States. We are not in danger from Iran. This is not something that is necessary. This is not any kind of definition of a last resort use of military power. This is the bitter fruit for decades in the past and with increasing strength and virility in this administration in the first 12 months, that there are no roadblocks. Congress has voted itself out of existence in terms of its War Powers Act. It has literally handed them over to the chief executive. So that's, we need to understand that right there, because when you're talking about, I mean, when I'm, just imagine the significance of what I'm saying here. By all accounts, President Trump has made his decision, and now he is just looking for the right operational window based on the things that he said and the things that he has ordered into the region. And yet, I can't tell you, nobody can tell you what the imperative, the driving justification is that why we must go to war with Iran and probably lose American service members in the process. No one is even making the case. The only thing President Trump made in his statement right there is something about, I hope they make a deal. We're looking for a deal that's good for everybody. That's all he has said. He's not even coming up with any kind of a justification. You can read between the lines. This is something that Iran wants or Israel wants, something they've wanted for a long time, and that maybe they're working together with Benjamin Netanyahu. This whole issue here spun up on the 28th of December when Netanyahu met with Trump in Mar-a-Lago. And then magically, all the protests started thereafter, which, of course, we had helped foster. That's common knowledge now. It's well choreographed. Now then, here we are apparently right at the edge of launching this. President Trump also last night seemed pretty gleeful about what could be coming next.
And by the way, there's another beautiful armada floating beautifully toward Iran right now. So we'll see. I hope they make a deal. I hope they make a deal. They should have made a deal the first time they'd have a country.
So you see there, it's just a campaign thing. It's an applause line. Everybody's cheering. Yay, we got an armada floating to Iran. It's become so commonplace. And I believe that this was probably an intentional design from probably many of the landed elite in the United States. Many of the so-called political elite, certainly the powerful. There's no so-called about that. They definitely have power. That they have wanted to do a lot of these small bite kind of moving against the Constitution, moving against the War Powers Act, just kind of moving the bar a little bit further, a little bit further until one day there's no bar. Now there is no bar. This isn't even a situation like where, all right, we're going to go and launch some missiles. This is an all out. We've got the whole armada there ready to have a punishing strike. That is a great deal of firepower in the region. In some categories, I think this is even commensurate with what happened in the 2003 invasion of Iraq, minus the ground forces, of course. That in is part of your problem here is that we want something that's quick and easy. We had a British diplomat, Alistair Crook, on the show yesterday, said, his acknowledgement or his assessment of what Trump likes to do, I think is really apropos, is that he wants to come in big, quick, splashy, get something done that you can put on TV and get out. That seems to be his modus operandi. Those are the kinds of things he really likes to do. Doesn't really cost him anything. He's in, bam, out, take all the credit and move on to whatever's next. Problem is, this is not one of those cases. At least the amount of firepower in the region, what he's threatening to do and what the likely response is from Iran, this ain't going to be like that. If he thinks it is, if he's being advised that it is, he's being desperately bad advised. Because it will be a near miracle if it turns out like that. The most likely scenario is that this expands throughout the region and that Americans that are currently safe and sound right now are going to come under fire and many of them may die if we launch this attack. Now, one of the things Trump said both in that Truth Social and in that soundbite I just put there is he keeps going back to this, make a deal, right? That's what he keeps saying. That's what the Iranians need to do. Like all this firepower is up there to get them to make a deal. Well, it's instructive here to see what is the deal that's on the table. What is it we're asking them to do? And in this piece in Axios here, was talking to several of the senior administration officials and U.S. officials told Axios that any deal would have to include, quote, the removal of all enriched uranium from Iran, a cap on Iran's stockpile of long-range missiles, a change in Iran's policy of supporting proxies in the region, and a ban on independent uranium enrichment, which is basically what Iran says they categorically won't do in any of those categories, especially in the capping of the long-range missiles. That is their only ace that they have in their deck, their ability to fire high-precision, long-range missiles that are very accurate and have significant payloads. That's what caused the 12-day war to only be 12-day war and not to result in a regime change operation against Iran in 2025. So that's not even on the table. It will never be on the table. No enrichment will also never be on the table. None of those things are going to be on the table. So That is the literal definition, not of a poison pill, but of a poison pill bottle. All the pills in there are poison. That leads to the conclusion that there is no actual attempt to diplomacy. So when Trump says we're trying to make a deal, and that's what this armada is meant to, there's no deal to be made. That's not lost on a former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, as he again almost gleefully looks forward to the lack of diplomacy.
This is not that complicated. This regime has to go at this point. There's no deal. There's no agreement. President Obama tried that path. He led to continue their nuclear program. President Biden tried to do the same thing. This is not a regime that could be negotiated with. This is a regime that is going to have to be forced from power by the Iranian people, and the United States can provide support for that.
Okay, I'm just going to throw not just a BS flag, but you are a liar straight into the camera. There is the most intense, bald-faced, knowing lie that he could possibly have told there. He knows it. He's counting on other people either to have heard the lie so many times that it becomes believable because, well, they keep saying it. It must be true. When he says that Iran can't be negotiated with, when he says that Obama tried and failed, to the literal contrary, the Obama administration tried and succeeded. They got a negotiated deal with Iran. There had been done before that, and after two painstaking years, they came out with the deal. And the deal had a 10-year, I think it was a decade sunset clause on it. I think it had a full decade on it. So from nothing to a decade, with the expectation and the full discussion that when the next time it came to curtailment, when it came to the end term, that it would be renegotiated. And as long as the terms were being met, and as long as everybody was happy, and as long as everybody was getting a win, then it would continue on. But as we know, Pompeo himself destroyed that diplomacy and sabotaged it by convincing President Trump in his first term to get rid of it. So when you hear Mike Pompeo look convincingly into that camera and claim the Iranians can't be negotiated with, they tried and failed. No, they tried and succeeded, and you destroyed it. The Secretary of State, the alleged top diplomat, is now going on television here and saying there is no deal. You can't talk to him. Only thing can be happened is taken out by power. He sounds more like the Secretary of War, not the Secretary of State, not a former Secretary of State, which means he is revealing his true colors. He was never an actual diplomat. He was always using the office of a diplomat to deceive America and to deceive our allies in order to facilitate the potential for what's coming now. They didn't have the ability, I don't think, at that time to say, hey, we're going to get out of this deal and go to war right now, because that would have been so far afield from where things had been that even our allies wouldn't have been able to get behind that. Americans wouldn't have get behind that. But now then, through slice by slice and year by year and moving the needle further along by repeating the lie over and over and over and over, where people become numb to it, and then now here we are, probably on the precipice of it. Now, one person who's not even trying to lie is Lindsey Graham. Now, Lindsey Graham is a little bit different of a cat, no less dangerous, but a different way. The one thing, if you can find something positive to say about him, is that he's not lying. He enthusiastically wants to have a regime change. He's never said anything but that, and now he is almost beside himself with glee.
Donald Trump is Reagan plus. He's a man of peace, but not to be trifled with. So what did he tell the protesters? Keep protesting. Help is on the way. I hope he can find a deal to end the bloodshed in Iran. But Iran's the largest state sponsor of terrorism. They've killed probably 30,000 of their people. And here's what I think. When Donald Trump promises you something, he will deliver. To the Iranian people, President Trump has your back. Help will be on the way. I'm not going to say any more.
Okay. Okay. Forget what I said, at least in that soundbite. That wasn't truthful. That was nearly all a lie, and a ham-fisted lie at that. It's all about the peaceful protesters in Iran. My heart bleeds for those poor Iranian protesters after we sent these decades long of sanctions and just bone-crushing sanctions to try and destroy their economy, to then artificially destroy the rial and their currency. to cause a collapse, and then to send in tens of thousands of Starlink terminals, apparently large amounts of weapons, definitely agitators from numerous quarters in the Middle East, intentionally by MI6, according to Pompeo. The MI6, we can imagine the CIA and other intelligence agencies were involved. Syrian Democratic Kurds, we know that. From the Turks, by the way, who are sort of our allies in one sense and not in another, have been funneling all these people in there. It failed. So we caused the situation intentionally for a purpose to crush the people inside of Iran. And then when they rose up, then we helped those, because there's no question that there's plenty of people inside of Iran that hate the mullahs, have always hated the mullahs, and have always wanted to shed that burden off of them. But it's a relatively small percentage of them. That's the reason why it hasn't worked up to this point. So we thought, well, we'll artificially inseminate it. We'll make it work. We'll pump it full of all this stuff and then see if that works. And so far, at least, it didn't, because they didn't count on the effective crackdown by the state government there in very brutal ways. So we love to show all these images of destruction. We love to talk about these huge casualty counts. Maybe 15, 20, 30,000 maybe have been killed by some claims, maybe 5,000, whatever the number is. They don't really care. They love the images because that galvanizes Western public eyes. That gives people motivation and moral justification.